Welcome to the LaPorte County Public Library's podcast, Do We, Don't We?
The podcast that shows you what our library has beyond the books.
On each episode, staff at the LaPorte County Public Library will introduce you to services at the library that might surprise you.
Come along and find out, do we, don't we?
Hello, I'm Greg Coulter, a librarian here at the LaPorte County Public Library, and welcome to this episode of Do We, Don't We? Today we're talking about family history and genealogy with Mary Hedge and Jenny Minnick. Hi, guys.
Hi, Greg.
That was in unison.
That was pretty cool. Thank you both for being here today. Let's introduce ourselves and maybe say something unexpected that we found while researching family history. Mary, do you want to start?
Sure. Well, again, I'm Mary Hedge, and I do a lot of genealogy work here at the library and a little bit on my own, too. So there's always interesting stories and interesting facts, too, that we can find in the recorded resources. One interesting fact in my family that is not recorded, but many people say is true, is that my great-grandfather, and actually my great-grandmother, was traded for a horse when she was a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. Yes. I have to follow this.
What kind of horse? Do they know?
A horse that could carry them to the next county in Iowa. They were moving from Illinois to Iowa, and suddenly, when they were just one county away from their destination, their horse died. And the youngest person in the vehicle that the horse was carrying was my great-grandmother, who was possibly two or younger. And so they stopped at a farm that had a horse and left the baby there because the family wanted a child and took the horse.
Huh.
And never returned.
That is fantastic.
But my great-grandmother was married in the county where she was dropped off, which does give some possible clue that she was left there and stayed there, where her father then moved on to the next county. And the thing is, the father was traveling with his new wife. His wife, the mother of the baby, had died. And the new mother was very gleeful when she found that she could not keep the baby and leave it at this house.
That is the definition of evil stepmother. I think the baby got the good deal out of that.
She just might have.
She
yes.
may have. Pioneer times were rough.
Okay, Jenny, your turn.
Okay, now I don't know if I can really follow that one up. That was Mary. I think you beat me here, but
and again, that's not recorded history, but it is recorded in the notes of some of my relatives that they knew from memory.
So the one of the facts I found out when I was researching my family history was that my great-great-grandfather's sister trained as a medical doctor around the turn of the century. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then she actually ended up moving to Italy. She married another physician who was, from Italy, and they moved back there. So my great-great-grandfather ended up in La Crosse, Indiana, and his sister ended up a medical doctor in Italy. So it's always kind of interesting I really find it interesting, like, the different paths people take.
In a woman's liver, possibly, in her early times. Huh?
Yeah, that's really cool. Tomorrow I'm supposed to go with my grandpa to Kokomo to pick up some family history documents.
Well, that's
cool. It's like a distant relative of my dad's side. So, like, the Coulters moved to Westville in, like, the 1830s, which for a while...
It's
like
pretty early.
So early, before Indian removal. So when my cousins were telling me something along the lines of, like, we traded our land for, like, furs from the Indians or something, I was like, that doesn't sound right. But then looking into the record and finding out that is entirely possible. And
sadly, that's the way that often happened. Yeah. So if people want to get started in genealogy, we have a lot of resources here at the library, both here at the main branch at 904 Indiana Avenue in the Indiana Room and online to help them get started. Mary, do you want to talk a little bit about the most helpful resources that we have that are available to the public?
Well, sure. We can start with the Indiana Room, which is here at the main library, and we're lucky enough to have the Indiana Room, a separate, really nice room that people just love researching in. It's quiet and light and full of books and microfilm and computers for genealogists to use. So that is a good starting place.
And it's such a cozy room, too. It's a little bit off the side of the library. And
it's just, all by itself.
Yeah,
yes.
And the tall ceilings, and it's very cozy space to work.
It's a very historic room because it exposes some of the old brick from the original building in within the room.
And then the Carnegie window, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we kept the old windows, even though we added that room on in 1990.
So there are print materials in there folks can use, and then there are also a lot of resources on microfilm and microfilm readers. What sorts of resources would they find on the microfilm, Mary?
Almost all of our microfilm are newspapers from LaPorte, from Michigan City, from Wanata, from Westville. So we have almost every newspaper that's been published from those places. So if you're looking for an obituary and you know the approximate death date of a relative, you can possibly find that obituary on microfilm. And from 1920 and up, we have obituary indexes. So if you don't know the exact death date, you can look them up in the obituary indexes that we have.
That was a really helpful resource for me when I was researching my family history, and my husband's. We're both from LaPorte County. You can get a lot of information from an obituary.
Definitely. And the obituary indexes are our most used print resource in the Indiana room. So again, it depends. In the older days, you might not find a woman in the obituaries, but you might find her husband. And it just depends. The woman's first name sometimes wasn't even there. It might say it's Mrs. Jack Brown or something like that. And it may or may not list children's names, but you have to look because you may get lucky and find something that you've been looking for ages in an obituary.
We have some other tools at the library here that folks can use to help with their with documenting their family history. We have a digital scanner that you can use to come in and scan your original documents and to digitize them. And then we also have a machine in the Indiana room that folks can use if they have VHS tapes. They can convert those to DVDs. So we have some tools here that people can use also to help get their family history organized and together.
And 1 to 3 on Fridays is actually a volunteer who is here from the Genealogical Society. And
oh, he cool.
does wonderful help for people that just drop in. And he'll spend as much time as possible with them. And he's even done some research for them on his own, too. So don't be afraid to come in. He's very good about helping everybody as much as he can.
Let's say that someone can't come into the to the library physically, Mary. Maybe they live far away, or maybe they have a limitation that prevents them from coming in person. Is there a way that they can request an obituary?
Sure. There is an online form on our website, and they just fill out the form and say who they're researching and what it is about them that they want. And there is a $5 charge for that. And that is normally used by people from outside of the county who can't get in themselves, or it's just too far and expensive for them to come, or they don't have anybody around here who could come in for them.
That's great. So they just go to laportelibrary.org and fill out the form on the local history page to request that information. So there are other resources that people interested in researching their family history can research online as well through the LaPorte Public Library Digital Collection. Mary, do you want to talk a little bit about that project and the resources people can find there online?
Yes, we are just starting with this digital collection. And right now we have Belle Gunness on there. I doubt that she's an ancestor of any of you, but you know, she is important to our history here. So that is very widely used. We also have a yearbook collection that we're going to be putting up and adding to, and other LaPorte history collections about local industries and schools and just popular places that people might want to know about.
I think it's really fun to go back and look up your parents, grandparents, and in my case, I even found some of my great grandparents in the LaPorte County yearbooks. That's kind of a fun thing.
And we have them from way back in the very early 1900s.
Oh gosh, so you could like look up great grandma's high school photo.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yeah,
and bring that to Thanksgiving
those
dinner.
Those are really cool because are they called the Portal, Mary? Is that what
That was one of the names? Yes.
And it's a compilation of several different area schools. So I had some ancestors who attended Union Township High School or La Crosse High School. And as you flip through, you can see they're all contained in the same yearbook. So that was kind of neat.
What are some things that people need to have on their minds when they start doing family history like that?
Well, I would say in the beginning, figure out what it is that you want to know. If you're a very new genealogist, and you've never done history before, and you're coming to the library and you say, I want to do my genealogy. Well, you know, what is it that you want to know? Is it something very specific, like what is my great-grandfather's name and when was he born? You know, or is it, do I want to know everything about every relative that ever lived way back when, even from... And write down or have available what you do know about your ancestors, starting with current ones, with the people that you know or maybe who have recently passed that possibly you used to know or that lived in the 1900s to 2000s at least. So start from the current and then work your way back is usually the best way to go.
And how would I want to start writing those sources down?
The method that I use is based on the method that's used for the 4-H project. So when I first started, I had just totes and bags and piles of stuff that had been given to me. And I would say, okay, I'm researching this person. I know I have stuff on them somewhere, and I couldn't find any of it. So when I started using the 4-H system, it really clarified for me. It allowed me to organize my research so that I could find what I was looking for when I was looking for it. So I assign a number to all of my direct ancestors. So I'm number one, and then whoever you start with is number.
That's the way it's supposed to be done.
That's the way it's supposed to be done. Yeah, and then
that's what makes it a hobby.
My father is double my number, so he's two, and then my mother is his number plus one, so she's three. So as I get back into my ancestors, when I go back several generations, like six, seven, eight generations, I know that my, you know, if I'm researching ancestor number 256, I flip in my book to that page. So I have pedigree charts that are organized that way. I have family group sheets that are organized that way. And then I have binders with numbers that I keep all of their documents in. So I want as many primary sources as I can get: birth, marriage, death records. I want census records. I want obituaries, church records. So Heritage Quest is a great place to go online to find some information on census records.
Definitely. That's how it's used most of the time. But there's also genealogy books there, like local history books that might have an ancestor's name in it. So it's a really good thing to use not only in the library or at any library branch in our system here, but at home, because with the library card and password, you can search on Heritage Quest, and that is a database that the library pays for. So that's not something that you could just get on your own at any time.
What sort of information can someone find out from a census record, Mary?
Well, it depends on the year. What was recorded varied every 10 years, but it could be, where did you live at the last census? Where were you born? Where were your parents born? And then it would list the children's names and their ages. It would list careers. So you can find more information than just what their name was and where they live.
Something that when I've run into some brick walls, which is what genealogists call like a dead end with your research, censuses have been really helpful to me because they were collected in a way that all of the neighbors, they were collected in order in a neighborhood. So something that I found often is that if I find one ancestor in a census, people usually married people who were in close proximity to them in their neighborhood. So as I've run into different brick walls, I've uncovered a few different brick walls by reading through that whole census for maybe like for all of Union Township. And then I would find, you know, the in-laws of the household that I knew was there were actually living like down the street. Same thing with church records. People tended to marry people they attended church with. So those were some ways that that you can kind of get creative in your research.
Because back in the day, your Tinder radius was only limited to like 6 to 10 miles, right?
If that. I mean, what if there's a body of water you have to cross?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, significantly limited. Right?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for coming on today. Do you have any more like last thoughts?
Just be sure to record what you find and where you found it, maybe what page it's on, maybe the column number even. And if you don't find it, record what you looked in, because you will search so much that you will be bound to forget where you searched.
And I would also say make copies of what you have and share what you have, because you never know who in the next generation is going to take an interest in genealogy. So make sure that what you've discovered is shared with all of your relatives so that you know, so that it lives on and so the research you've done is shared with everyone who wants access to it.
Thank you guys so much for coming on today.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the LaPorte County Public Library's Do We, Don't We, the podcast that shows what libraries have beyond the books. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify to catch our new episodes.